truly God is great and worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 First giving all praises to God, who is the head of my life, the one who called me and has cared for me, has brought me safe thus far. To him I give all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's to him that I serve, because I've seen him do some marvelous things. I seen God do things that made him trustworthy. I can trust him because he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. When I was a little boy running around these streets of Austin, getting in trouble, and never thought that I could one day be the pastor of Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. Never crossed my mind, you know. I would have been a better student in school. Amen. But to God be the glory. I wanted to slow down this morning and really talk for a second, because we've been moving kind of swiftly and lines been kind of blurred. I grew up coloring outside of the lines, so that's nothing new to me. But, you know, going from interim to pastor, we need to take a moment. And thank you, Ebenezer. It was, interim pastor was the single most joy of my life. Because I knew it was a position of God's amazing grace. It was a position of grace because I knew it eventually would end. And when you understand some of our relationships are relationship based in grace, you know that they are important because they will run out. Grace is not eternal. Faith, hope, love, these three abide forever. And the greatest of these is love. I want to thank Ebenezer for the love that you have showed me, not just in words, but in deeds. And not just because of who I am, but because of the task that God had assigned me. And so I do want to thank you. I want to thank Dr. Janice Bryan. Amen. I could not and would not been able to do it without her. And I thank her. She makes me better. She makes me want to be better. She shows me a better way. And she also helped me form new ministries, like Each One Reach One. I'm trying to reach this one, so you find you someone. Each One Reach One. If you could change somebody, and I've started with Dr. Janice Bryan, you find your own to work with, your own project. She's all mine. But I do thank God. She'd be trying to hang with me, and I'd just be making up stuff to go to. And she'd be trying to hang with me, and so I'm thankful for her. She gives me rides at times, and we're able to go to places and do more for the Lord. It's a reason why he says go out two by two. It's a reason for that. And part of the reason is to encourage one another. And so I wanted to take our time to thank her. I want to thank my wife. She's was not able to be here today. She had a stomach, something in flu or something, a stomach ache. But I do want to thank her because you don't know what it's like to be married to a preacher like me. You know, it's really hard to have financial security when your man is based in faith, hope, and love. Really hard to drill him when it's what thus says the Lord. I don't know. It's just, the Lord laid it on my heart, you know. It's like, no, I'm going to do a little more than that. So I do thank her. I have put a lot of hot air in the balloon, but she has not popped it yet. So she's with me. I thank her. It's been a long journey. I got married on June the 12th. And I preached my first sermon on June the 19th. So my marriage and my ministry has been really close. And because of her, she grounds me. And I am deeply, deeply grateful to her for that. And so I do want to give a word to the wise. And Urshas, thank you, Urshas. You may be seated. I do want to give a word to the wise and a warning to the foolish as it relates to my wife. She is full grown. I mean, like grown, grown. I mean, buried her mama and sister and raising two daughters grown. It's a little boy calling her a grandbaby grown, grown, grown. And all you grown women know, you don't like nobody telling you what to do. Amen. So that's a word of wisdom to the wise and a word of caution to the foolish. She got me, she got God, she got the Lord on her to try to be all that she can be. But she don't appreciate like grown women, all the grown women I ever met, never appreciate folk telling them what they ought to be doing. So, but if we let her go and let her shine, you'll find the same gifts that I've seen in her. You'll see the same beauty, the same encouragement, the same inspiration that I get from her. And so I do encourage you that not only if you pray for me, pray for us, pray for our marriage, and pray for the challenges. You can only imagine that she has to go through just being married to me. And so pray for her. I'm grateful for my daughters, you know, being the preacher kids, both girls, but then not just being a preacher's kid, being daughters of a preacher is a challenge in and of itself, but they carry it with dignity and with pride, and I'm grateful to them. You know, years ago, it set out me just setting a bar, just trying to raise the bar, just trying to lift the bar, just two more inches, another inch. But in doing so, I realized at times I've caused some people an expectation level, because they look at me and say, well, if he can do it, anybody can do it. So when they try it and it don't work out, it can sometimes lead to some frustrations. And they try to throw that on my daughters. And so pray for them. I'm grateful for the beautiful, beautiful ladies that they are. And they have yet to hit their potential. They have yet to hit the woman that they're going to be. I also want to thank the chairman of the Deacon Board, Deacon Greg Roberson. Amen. I'm the only cat in Austin can say that the chairman of my Deacon Board comes straight out of Compton. But he's a mama's boy, so I guess that nails it. That nullifies. That brings us back to average. That brings it. But I can say that. Come after me. Come for me. The chairman of my Deacon Board is straight out of Compton. And so I am grateful for our conversations. A man of integrity. I tried as my best not to put more problems on his plate. I know that, you know, leading a congregation is enough to do. And so I didn't want to add to that. But thank God for the anointing. Amen. It's not by strength. It's not by might, but by the Spirit of God. That's where our strength lies, not in us, but in Him. And He modeled that. He demonstrated that in our conversation from beginning to end. There were times I'll kind of, you know, laugh it off. He said, no, Rep. Look me straight in the eye, tell me straight. I'm like, oh, okay, this is okay, yes. Yes, Deacon, I got that. And I thank him. I thank him deeply and all the deacons. And I want to thank Michael, Trustee Michael. Amen. Amen. Listen, I hit the door and his name already be called. I can't even call on Jesus before they call it on Michael. I can't get to the sanctuary. I'm trying to get to the sanctuary so I can call on Jesus. I done heard folk call on Michael 4 or 5 times. I'm like, hold on. Let me get to Jesus, and then we could. But I thank him for his strength, his energy. I think that the Lord can work with us. I think the Lord can do what the Lord needs done through us. I definitely want to thank Sister Chris. Thank her for her leadership. She's leading the way for the, she's just now starting to get a dose of me and that I talk in time don't matter to me. So I could be talking about the present, using the future and the past. Time is kind of weird for me. And so when I'm talking about an idea or something, I have not a clue if it's an idea for tomorrow or an idea for 2 years from now. It's just an idea that the Lord has given me. And so she's really, really helpful in bringing me down and making them real and making them concrete. And so I thank her for not only her leadership and participation on the trustee board, but just in church and as she moves around. And I'm just naming a couple of people. I'm not going to name each and every one of you, but I thank you. I thank you for the personal relationships we've started. I look forward to them growing. I love the conversations I've started to have. I plan on meeting with everyone in groups for the month of September. I'm trying to make every meeting, everything, just to listen and learn from you. So I'm excited, and there I'll hopefully be able to share my appreciation to you, not only personally, but also collectively. Today what I want to do is share my dream. Simply, I have a dream too. And I want to share it with you. And it's found in Genesis chapter 37. All right. Thank the choir. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And thank our guests. Amen. 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 I want to thank them as well. Genesis 37, beginning at verse 5. By the inspiration of God, by the pen of Moses, these words are recorded. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told it, when he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. We read into your hearing Genesis 37, verses 5 through 11. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and the hearing of God's word. I have a dream too. I have a dream, but my dream is not deeply rooted in the American dream. No, my dream has been uprooted and rerooted into the word of God. My dream is rooted into the one who gives dreams and the interpretation thereof. My dream is in the scripture. My dream is in the Bible. My dream is like Joseph's dream. It's captured in this dream that Joseph had. And Joseph shares his dream with his family. Now, the dream, the first thing we need to lift up in this dream is that it is a picture of leadership. It is clear to both Joseph and his brothers that he is standing before them. And I have a dream. I have a dream of leadership, leading a congregation that understands their own mission statement, to develop Christ-like persons through changing experiences. A dream of a church that will pray for you, have you on their mind, take the time and pray for you. I have a dream of leadership where others will follow. My pastor always say that if you are leading and nobody is following, then you're not leading, you're just taking a walk. I was planning on taking a walk the other day to First Lady Catholic Church, but then I looked around and some people following me, so I figured I better come up with a speech when I get over there since they're getting with me. But if no one's following you, then you're not leading. You're just taking a walk. And people tell me about Ebenezer. I don't know if you know this. The word on the street is that all of y'all are teachers. Everybody is a principal and everybody is a professor. Everybody is a doctor and everybody is a lawyer. And they tell me, "Robinson, what you gonna do when you get over there with all those teachers and professors and doctors and lawyers? What in the world are you gonna do?" And I say, "Well, I got 3 degrees listening to teachers, so I guess I'll listen some more. I don't have to." Every time I needed advancement in life, it was teachers that was there. So I don't, if I want to reach a greater level of commitment, I think I'm gonna need some teachers. You're gonna need some instructors. And it actually got me to thinking, because there's a form of leadership called servant leadership. That's my favorite form. That's my more natural form. Serving is my natural state of affairs. If nothing else, I will serve. When I went to St. James, I did not go to be the executive pastor. When I went to St. James, I went to join the Ursher Board because I figured there I could serve and nobody would notice. That didn't work out. That was my plan. That was my plan to serve the Lord. But so serving leadership is natural for me. It really, really my ground zero. But with all you teachers, I came up with a new form of leadership, and it's called student leadership. That means you learn, you lead by learning. And one thing I learned when I was a student, how to push a teacher. In fact, my mama used to drop me off and say to the teacher, he's going to be a handful. I used to make teachers have to expand their curriculum. They'll have enough lesson for everybody else, and I'll knock it out in less time. If they gave me 30 minutes, I was going to do it in 20. Right or wrong, I was going to do it in 20 because they were going to have to do something else for me for that last 10 minutes. So I have no problem. In fact, I got 3 degrees. Challenging teachers, listening to teachers, trying to figure out what teachers like and how to write and share and motivate teachers. So we're going to have a whole new leadership style called the student leadership style. And that simply means that we learn from one another. No one of us have it all. In fact, the church is made up of stained glass windows. In fact, it's in the stained glass, the broken pieces of our lives, that God brings us together into one body, in one faith, under one Lord. With all of our tragedies, with all of our traumas, with all of our trophies, with all of our success, with all of our failures, God brings us all together to form one body of believers. And we can learn and listen to one another. It's a picture of leadership. Now, the brothers saw it as a picture of ruling. They made that mistake. But the picture is a picture of providing. Literally, Joseph will be in position to provide for his family. It wasn't for him to rule over them. It wasn't for him to reign over them and be authoritative over them. No, it was for him to provide for them. It's a position of leadership. Not only is it a position of leadership, it's a position of inclusiveness. Everybody's included. He even says, I'm just like you. We're all sheaves. It was just that my sheaf stood up. And your sheaves bow down. But we're all sheaves. You're not sheaves and I'm the axe. You're not the wheat and I'm the tractor. We're all sheaves. We're all in, and the dream is for all. It's an inclusive dream. It was not only for Joseph's brothers, but it represented for their wives, for their sons, for their daughters, for their grandchildren, that Joseph will be in position to provide inclusively for all of them. And the church has to be inclusive. That we have to think broader and think for us all. Even when he threw in the parent, the second dream had the sun and the moon and the stars, the 11 stars bow down. When he talks about the sun and the moon, he's also talking about providing. But not only is he talking about providing down, he's also now talking about providing up. providing for those who have went before. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve here at Ebenezer because we take out time to remember those who serve. I was moved by the opportunity to share in the benedictions of others. In this last year, to share in the benediction of Sister Clark, Sister Coleman, and Duncan, and Erdie, and Duncan, to share in their benediction with Williams, and Dotson, and Hayes, Shepherd, Cook, and Campbell, to share in their benediction. Because we all will have one day. We're all passing through. We're all on our way to our final resting place. We're all on our way to our final destiny. And what a beautiful opportunity to share with one another while we're on this journey. We will care for our young, challenge our mature, and comfort our grieving. Inclusive of all, from cradle to the grave, from the youngest to the oldest, everyone included in the dream. It is a dream where all hands on deck. We need everyone. I'm not even going to try to do it all by myself. I am not. I'm too old that. Maybe 20 years ago you can get me to try to do it all by myself. But it's all of us. There's a safe place in this place for all of us. A place where we can grow. A place where we can share. A place where we can serve. A place where we can be strengthened one another. All can take place in this place. Where we share. It's inclusive. Of not only his peers, not only his brothers, but their wives and sons and daughters, but now his parents as well. It's a dream of leadership. It's a dream of inclusion in this. Thirdly, it's a dream that's indefinite. You never know when the dream is going to pop off. You never know when the dream is going to come true. Listen. In the passage, when he first shares with his brothers, it seems as if it could be infinite. That it could happen, who knows when. But Joseph says a couple of things in there. He said, when suddenly. We've lost that. The church, the Christian believers today, we've lost the suddenness, expectation in life. The early church, one of the things that set the modern church apart from the early church expected Jesus to return in their lifetime. In their lifetime, they expected Jesus to return. That's one of the reasons why they didn't build churches. They were just meeting people's houses because they assumed Jesus would come back in their lifetime. That's why some of them were quitting their jobs because they assumed Jesus, and the church has lost that suddenness. We don't expect Jesus to come back this afternoon, let alone in our lifetime. But Joseph's dream contained that suddenness. They had to live with the expectation that this could happen any moment. Especially once he put in the sun and the moon, the mother and the father. Now it happens in their lifetime. It's not eternity. It's not infinite. It is set now in time, which means that the dream will come to pass. Dream we have a fleet of cars with Ebenezer insignia on it. Dream we have of comforting the sick and the shut-in. A dream we have of ministering not to our virtual community, but with our virtual community. A dream where we all have a voice. And I love to hear it. Because one thing I know, standing here today, that dreams do come true. It is not lost on me that dreams do come true. Because the call to pastor and accept the call to pastor Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, you have to understand, for a kid growing up in Austin, Texas, called to the ministry, fumbling around, trying to learn, being told I need to go to seminary when I thought I had enough education, when I had a bachelor's degree, to be able to meet Rodney Swisher, to be mentored by Reverend Dr. Marvin C. Griffin. He taught me how to pastor by teaching me how to pastor Ebenezer. Now, I didn't listen because I wouldn't dare dream that I ever be the pastor of Ebenezer. But dreams, they do come true. And in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, the grit and the grind, the strain that we put ourselves through, all of the madness in the world in which we live, the trouble in our bodies, in our families, in our finances, still dream. Still have a dream for your church. Share it with me, whatever your dream is. Because I have a dream too. And I know that dreams do come true. May God bless you and may God keep you this morning.